Amen, amen. Welcome to River of Life. We're so glad you're here this morning. And I like what Pastor Jay called you, the snow warriors. And it's always interesting. Sometimes the people that live the furthest away are the people who get to church when it's snowing outside. Hallelujah. Someone who doesn't live in Elkhart, wave your hand. Yeah, look at that. Bless you. Bless you. So today, we're finishing up our series on Renewed, and actually, Pastor David Harris was supposed to help me preach this series, but he hasn't been able to make it, so it looks like I'm covering the last point, which is Renewed Community. He sends his love. He did start out this morning. He got as far as Kalamazoo, and they were going 35 miles an hour, and he said he had left really early to get here on time. And he didn't think you would even make it in time for worship or part of the service. So he turned around and went back home. And so God bless his effort to get here. And so he'll be back one of these days. But as we get started on this series of Renew, this final piece of it, community, let's just ask the Lord to bless us as we study his word together. So, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Thank you for this series, Lord, on Renewed. Lord, I pray that you continue to renew our hearts. You said to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And so this morning, Lord, I thank you that our minds are being renewed by the Holy Spirit and by your word, which is spirit and life. So, Lord God, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place. You are our teacher. You are our comforter. You are talking to each person that is here and those who are listening. And so, Lord, we just say, teach us today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought I wasn't going to have a cup of coffee before I came into the auditorium. But I thought, you know, this is just one of those days you need a cup of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. We're going to open up with this first scripture, 1 John 1, 5 through 7. And normally I have a PowerPoint and everything laid out for you. Well, this morning we're just winging it. I sent the scriptures to Angela right before we started. So here we go. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So a question to think about as we go through this teaching today, does my life most resemble darkness or does it resemble light? So today is the final week in our series Renewed, and I hope that each one of you have experienced some type of renewal over the past few weeks. And God wants to renew our spirit, and he does that as we trust him, and he renews our spirit as we ask for forgiveness, and he forgives us for our sins. And then we looked at purpose, and purpose is something I love to teach on because God created everything for a purpose. And so God offers us a renewed purpose as we trust him to guide us. We have plans, but the plans of men fail, the scripture says, but God's plans always come to pass. And then God renews our love for him. He renews our love for one another. And we're to be mindful of his great love for us because the scripture says God is love. And it is because we have a God who is so involved in our lives and loves us so much that we do not have to live in a broken state. He came to heal the brokenhearted. So if your heart has been broken, God is the one that heals the broken heart. I was speaking with someone over this last week, and they were struggling with some things, and I said, you know, there is not a pill that the doctor can prescribe that can even put a finger on what you're going through. It cannot change it at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that made our souls. He knows what's going on the inside of us. He's the lover of our souls. He's our shepherd, and He watches over His sheep. And if we will draw close to Him, He'll draw close to us, and He will touch us in that place and heal us. And I'm not against medication, because sometimes you just need medication to get through what you're going through. But medication cannot heal the hurt and the pain and the brokenness that comes into our lives. Only Jesus. Say, only Jesus. So today we're going to take a look at the being renewed in community. And so it's so important to look around and ask yourself, who am I surrounding myself with? Because who we are is largely the result of the people we have chosen to call friends. The choice of who we fellowship with may be one of the most important decisions in our life. Because who we're running around with, who we're hanging out with, is going to influence our decisions and our outlook on life. So you show me your friends, and it will reveal the direction of your life. Some of us today have chosen wonderful friendships that constantly encourage us and always push us forward. A good friendship is a two-way street. You give and receive in a selfless and committed community. And the scripture says in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. When you have a true friend, they may share with you something that you really didn't want to hear, but you needed to hear. And they share with you because they love you, not because they want to hurt you. But an enemy, someone who really doesn't care about you, will just let you go on and do whatever you want to do and make a fool out of yourself. It's the truth. Someone say it's the truth. So if you find yourself in friendships that are harmful to you, this message is to encourage you to choose another friend. Sometimes you have to cut off relationships so that you can go on to your next chapter in life. Have you experienced that? Anyone ever experienced that? And sometimes those relationships, they're for times and seasons. And when that time and season in your life has been fulfilled, it's not that there's anything bad with you, bad with them. It's just time to find a new group of friends. So my experience, you know, growing up in church, we had an over 700 member church that we grew up in. But not everyone was godly, or trying to do what was right, or trying to influence you in a good way. So just because you're in church doesn't mean that everybody's good. We're all working at it, right? But not everybody has your best interest. And so the kind of people that we need to strive to be with are the kind of people that obey God's commandments. It's like you'll know them by their fruit. And so you have choices in life. And even, like I said, within our big church, there were many different groups of people. And so there were some that were strong in the Lord and were, that's who we chose to be with. There was a whole other group that liked to party on the weekend, that did drugs, that ran around. So you had your choice. And it's like that everywhere you go. You can connect to those who love God. And it doesn't mean that you totally stay away from people who don't love God, because you are the light. You are the light. And so this whole message about community is to be in community with people who have the same heart and vision and are working at obeying God's commands. Gabe read it this morning when he shared the scriptures. The Lord said, if you obey these commandments, and then these blessings come upon you. So when we follow God's command and we walk in his ways, it enriches our life and it protects us from unnecessary harm. John was one of the 12 disciples, and these 12 were a crew of just ordinary men who were committed to following Jesus. And through all the ups and downs of life, they were sticking together. So John was familiar with choosing fellowship with people who intentionally sought Jesus. And John is the one who wrote the book of 1 John. And within that book, he reminds us of the importance of being mindful of who we walk with in life. And so we're going to go to 1 John 2:5 through 6. And the scripture says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So John offers a litmus test for the community in which we find ourselves. He says the mark of a committed Christ follower is someone who keeps the commandments. The kind of person who helps develop a strong community is someone who holds the word of God in high regard. This kind of person takes God at his word. It's like we talked last week about Paul saying, I am confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in me will perform it. He didn't say, I hope he's going to perform it. Maybe it's going to come to pass. But we know what God has planned for our life is going to come to pass, because I know that God works all things together for good. Do you know that? You want to be around people that know that, because life is full of ups and downs. Life is full of difficult situations, and we've all been through them. And all of you struggled this morning probably just to get to church. It was a push. It was an effort to get here. But we know that when we push into the things of God, we know that he's going to work it all together for good. We got to keep him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Tell your neighbor, that's the truth. Now, that's the kind of people I want to hang out with, who really believe that. When we seek the kingdom of God first, when we seek the Lord first, we know that he's going to work it all together for good. And he is going to bring to us the things of the kingdom. Heaven on earth, hallelujah. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. So the kind of people we want to run around with, just a few examples here. They believe that it's important to repent of sin. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so it's important to repent. Sometimes we need to have that pointed out to us. Or maybe you should repent of that. Maybe you shouldn't say that. I had a friend the other day tell me that he was, and he's a minister, and he was talking to me, and he said, I am sick and tired of this. And I said, oh, brother, you need to rephrase that, because you're saying you are sick and tired. And he goes, oh, I am, aren't I? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, then I'm fed up. I said, okay, you can be fed up, but don't proclaim that you're sick and tired. So sometimes you just have to be reminded of something. You don't even realize these little phrases that we use all the time could be bringing a word curse on ourselves. Because isn't life and death in the tongue? Yes, that's what the word says. So sometimes we just need to be reminded that we need to repent. None of us is beyond repentance. Is that right? All right. All right, another friend you want to be with, they believe it is important to serve people as they serve Christ. We're going to go to Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. So it's about serving people. It's not about all about you, but it's about helping others. Amen? Amen. So another quality of a person you should be hanging out with is they believe it's important to be reconciled with one another. And this verse is in Matthew 5, 23 to 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So there is a high importance put on relationship. There's a high value of being in relationship. The scripture we just read in Philippians 2 said to be of the same love, to have the same mind, to be in one accord. And then it goes on in this scripture and talks about how important it is to have peace in your relationships. Now, do you take every single issue to your brother? No, some things you simply pray about. You pray about. But what I share with people, if it is something that you cannot get off your mind, that it constantly keeps coming up, you've prayed about it, you've sought God about it, but it just keeps coming up, then that issue is a stronghold. And it's going to separate you in that relationship. And if that is a relationship you're supposed to have, that you know God ordained that relationship, then you got to work it out. And so sometimes that's difficult. But how many have noticed relationships aren't easy? Yeah, and that's our next series in February. We're going to be teaching on relationships, hallelujah. They're not easy. They are work. Tell your neighbor they're work. It's work. That's right. And it's work having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to work at it. I don't know. For most people, it just doesn't come easy. Or just doesn't come simply, that you're just going to take all this time and spend it with God. How many knows lots of things come up that take you away from that relationship? And that's the plan of the enemy. I mean, that's the plan of the devil. I remember just sharing with God, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. And he finally said, Janet, I've given you all the time that you need to accomplish this. And I'm like, oh. So he said, what are you doing that you're not supposed to be doing? Have you ever had that moment with God where he starts to evaluate your life? You're complaining, you're whining, oh. And he just goes, boom, speaks something to you. I'm like, oh, okay. So I see there are some things that I enjoy doing, I like to do, that I need to cut out of my life so I can do what I'm supposed to do. Oh, we like the fun things. And you know what? When you get in the middle of serving God and fulfilling his will, there is something that comes over your heart and soul that nothing can compare to. That is that peace that passes understanding. It passes your understanding. It is so satisfying when you're in God's will and you're walking with Him. I'd much rather say yes to the Lord. So the friends you hang out with, they should be people who keep their word. Matthew 5:37 says, "But let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." And this is something to remember when you're raising children. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Because if they find out they can work you, they will work it. Yeah, some of you are nodding your head that's raised children. You know they will keep after you. But let your yes be yes. And your no be no. And that's the way it should be. Don't tell someone we're going to do something when we're not going to do it. Is that right? Let your yes be yes. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. How many have ever said yes to something and it really was hard to carry that through, but you carried it through anyway? Do you know that feeling? You know what I'm talking about? How your soul feels. It does not want to do what it had agreed to. But you committed, you said yes, and so you're going to keep your word. Yeah. We all know what that's like. And then the last one was, hang out with people who believe it's important to pray for one another. James 5:16 through 17 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." I want to have friends who pray. Amen? We're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray ye one for another. And so hang out with people who know how to pray, because we all need people to pray for us. And we need people to pray for. That's how the body of Christ works. That's how the kingdom of God works, is everybody working together to accomplish the Father's will. And so prayer is so important. It says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we have seen God answer so many prayers over this last year. He has been so faithful to answer prayers. Sometimes not the way we had hoped, but He answered. He answered. He hears our prayer, and there's power in agreement. So when we go through a difficult time in life, we want to make sure that we have true friends. And that's when you find out who your true friends are, isn't it? When things get tough. All right, we'll just go on. So our first responsibility is to seek God first. We're to befriend Him first. Have you ever heard that song, "I am a friend of God"? Yes, we're friends with God, not casual friends, but we are friends with God. We're on a good terms, right? You want to be on good terms with God? Amen. 1 John 1:5-6, we're going to read that again. "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So John tells us the message. This message had been passed on to him. The message is really simple. And the message is, God is light. In God is all goodness. And in God, because He's light, He exposes all of the darkness. He's trustworthy. And He always does what's right. So John tells us, if you want to be in fellowship with God, if you want to be a friend with God, then we must be careful to walk in light as well. So he invites us to live our lives in full exposure of God's goodness. We cannot claim to have community with God and yet walk in darkness and live in sin. That makes us liars. That's what the scripture said, right? You lie. And the truth is not in us. But a friendship with God will expose the darkness in our lives. And it will allow us to remove anything that should not be present. And when we think about God being the light, I was, just for a little story, when I worked at the pet, at the, it's called Mr. Friendly's Pet Salon, and I worked there for several years, and they had this problem with cockroaches. Well, I had never been around cockroaches. We hadn't had problems with cockroaches, but or bugs like that. But I can remember I hated to turn the light on in my groom room because I never knew what I would see running. And it's just creepy. You know, it's just gross when you turn the light on and the cockroaches run. And so I remember one day there was a customer that came in to get their pet, and I was talking to them, and behind them on the store wall, I could see these cockroaches running up and down. And I thought, oh, Lord, when they turn around, please don't let them see them. And honestly, they kept the place sprayed, you know, but it was just coming in with shipments of food and all kinds of stuff brought in these cockroaches. So it was just a constant problem. But anyway, it's just gross. It's gross. And I remember when Jay and Vanessa moved to South Carolina for a while, Vanessa called me one day and she said, Mom, these palmetto bugs down here are as big as mice. Has anyone ever lived down south and saw the palmetto? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're gross. I went down there for a little visit. They're gross. But anyway, it's like this, when God shines the light in our hearts and onto our lives, all those dark things, they're exposed and they need to go in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. I think you got that point. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Psalm 139:23-24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So God does search our hearts when we ask him to search them. And if we ask God to try us, he's going to try us. But we want to know what anxieties and fears lie on the inside of us. And we definitely want God to remove anything that would be wicked inside of us. And this is how it happens. It's not a complicated process. It's just simply surrendering your will to God's will. Asking the Lord to look. Does anyone remember that chorus, search me, Lord? Search me, Lord. Turn the lights of heaven on my soul. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. I want to live right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. Who remembers that old chorus? Yeah, there's a few people. My husband, of course. Oh, search us, Lord. Next point is walk with others in the light. So John adds to this idea of having fellowship with God and points out that we are to walk in the light with God, then we can walk in relationship with others. Okay, so when we're all walking in the same light, there shouldn't be any problems. There shouldn't be any controversy. If we're all walking in God's light, we can have fellowship with each other. So we're going to read 1 John 1:7 again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So thank God for the light. And thank God that there are healthy communities that we can connect ourselves to. A strong group of friends begins with a deep connection to God. And that connection allows for genuine and beautiful fellowship with others. So if you look at your closest relationships, would you say they make you more like Jesus? And do your closest friends encourage you to make choices and decisions that the Lord is pleased with and they're proud of? When we walk in the light, we have nothing to hide. And actually, nothing can be hidden, right? If we walk in the light. So if you have friends that walk in the light, you can be honest with those friends and you can share them with them your deepest hurts and concerns. Because we're in the light. We love God. We love one another. We pray for one another. So do you have friends like that? Because we all need them. We all need them. God created us to heal in community. When we confess our sins to one another, we pray for one another, God heals us. And we need to consider you could be a catalyst for renewal in your group of friends. It's by letting your light shine. Sometimes it just takes a little change for a whole group to change and be renewed. This is a true story, about a community in Mexico that was riddled by violence and crime, and the city had tried for years to curb the danger for the families who lived there. It was not until the city, it was just a small city, but it wasn't until the city decided to have a small crew of artists paint the city like a rainbow. So there were 200 homes and numerous blocks that were changed from just this dull white color to the colors, these vibrant colors of the rainbow. And they said the most interesting thing happened. Violence dropped, crime dropped, and the city became a safe haven. And all because of a little paint. So it's like a little change can renew the community. And this is from a story in 2015 about a mural that was painted in Mexico. So recognizing my last point is your life can be a key to renewal. We were always meant to find strength and encouragement by walking in the light along with others. We find strength from fellowship with God and fellowship with others in order to offer hope to others with who we come in contact with. So your life could be the light that someone else needs to see, that could light their way to the truth of Jesus' sacrifice for them. So once again, just take an assessment of those who you are hanging out with the most. Do they encourage you to walk in truth? If you cannot name any people that you're hanging out with that has a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to find some. Ask God to show you. Ask God to connect you. And those of you who are in fellowship, you're walking with people that love God, I encourage, pray for renewed community. Be intentional to pray for one another. Be intentional to pray for the block that you live on. Be intentional to pray for your city, wherever you're from. Be intentional to ask God to shine His light on the community and show His love to the people. And then I'm going to challenge you this week to to think about one person you could share God's love with, that you could share the light with. And I'm sure many of you do show your love through many ways to many people. But often it's the same people over and over again, which is good because we give one another life. But who is someone you can add into that circle and pull them in to share the love and the light of Jesus Christ? And so our prayer is that we have renewed community and that we take the light of Jesus Christ wherever we go, that we're committed to the renewal of our families, to the renewal of our group of friends, to the renewal of our church, to the renewal of your workplace. Let the Spirit of God come and renew the atmosphere in my life, that I'll take that wherever I go. Thank you, Lord, for renewal. Thank you, Lord. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for renewed community. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us, Lord, about who we can be a light to, who we can share your love with this week, Lord. And I pray for our families. Lord, I pray that you cause the River of Life families to be strong families. Lord, that your love, your presence is renewed inside each household. Lord God, all those we are connected to, we pray, Father, for that